On se voit dans la rue?
Hey, this is Roxanne Shante, and of course you know I am listening to CKUT 90.3.
The rhymes you're about to hear me recite are dedicated to all of those that...
The show you're about to hear may contain profanity or harsh language. The opinions expressed by the programmers are not necessarily the opinions of CKUT. If you have a complaint about anything that you hear on air, you can email us at programming@ckut.ca.
I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Boogie Brown. How you expect me to love you? Nigga can't confront. So he played you, right? Shot a little game, then he blazed you, right? Talking about he was gonna make you right, to make you right. And the last thing you see was heartbreak light. He fooled you, girl. Pussy is power. Let me school you, girl. Don't get up off until he move you, girl. And let no flame nigga rule your world. And screw you, girl. I got him hating me. I throws the pussy down, keep him chasing me. Basically, niggas game a lot. So bet I gained back and make the nigga think that I came a lot. And I changed the plot. When we was at Jacob, that chain was hot. If you on or what? Nigga cop the brooch in the double R and you got the note. So I know you not broke, nigga.
I can't ride.
Before I let a nigga just stab the box, I got to have some rocks. Even then, all I do is get they asses high. Then I ask them, last time you asked us why. Put him right in his place, slow him right down, shake it right in his face. You like the way? By the way, baby boy, would you like a taste? And let me tell you what I need on those license plates. Property on mahogany brown, stand and knock me on the balcony while you're knocking me down. Y'all wanna break me off without caking me off? Then expect the bitch to be faithful to y'all. The next nigga copping me back, straight from Dior. Parada shoes, that's the bomb, straight out of Milan. And I'm about that money, no need to pretend. Want you, holla at me when you ready to spend. And I could spit it, nigga. Same as y'all, same juice, same car. Ain't like a chick, ain't ballin' a soap. Can you give me more? Then I'm holding myself. I ain't tryna chick on no dick. I ain't tryna have no cat laid up in my shit. Had the next bitch laid up in my six. Giggling, dizzy as shit. Is it sick? I'm what a nigga would love to have. Chick with her own nice tits, nice ass. Nice attitude, even though I might spaz. Even still quite fast. You like the white staff, cause you know that I come out. Ready to dumb out and house you slippers. Put it down for my niggas. And I ain't going front. I'm about my end. So holla at me when you ready to spin.
Y'all, this is the one and only Miss Chris reporting to you live from CKUT. You already know what's going on. Every interview, every episode, I tell you guys the time frame, the dates, whatever you need to know. But if you're here, you know, you already know. But I like to give you a little shout out and a little information to the new people that come in every day. But anyways, nothing has changed. I'm back on a Monday, 6 p.m. CKUT, you know what's good. If you heard the ad that just played, can we give a little shout out to Roxanne Shanté, the original Roxanne Shanté from the Battles of the Roxannes? A different time, a different time. But let's go back to the topic. I just played one of my favorite songs ever from Foxy Brown. I can't. I truly can't. But let me tell you why I played this song particularly today. Without getting into too many of my friends' businesses and whatnot, you know, I have some friends that are going through some stuff, you know, relationship and whatnot, and it really made me question certain things, because we often, you know, when you get with somebody and you think they might not be the right one, but they're a nice one, you know, because who's the right one? Who's to say? I always tell you girls, you could be going on a date 365 days of a year and you would still find the right one the next day, next year. You never know. You truly never know. But what Foxy said, let's go back to the lyrics real quick, right? Foxy said, so he played you, right? Shot a little game, then he blazed you, right? Talking about he was gonna make you wife, then make you right. And the last thing you seen was his car's brake light. You thought he was gonna make you wife. You thought he was gonna make you right. You didn't think he was gonna be the right one, but you thought he was gonna be a nice one. What can we learn from this situation? You truly don't know somebody till you know somebody. And that's why I always tell you guys, when it comes to shackling up with a nigga, shackling up with somebody in my bed, outside of the marriage, right? Something serious. What do I truly know? What do you truly know about me? Because my thing is, when I speak from experience, I've been in situations where you're shackled up with somebody for a good 5 months. You think you're about to exchange names, honey. Your name is on the lease. That's what it's giving, right? And guess what? 5 months go and 5 months and a day, boom, nothing, radio silence. The nigga disappeared. Now you start questioning yourself. You're like, did I do something? Was all of this true? Was I worth it to him or to them? But that speaks volume to the person itself, because if you can really lay up with somebody for 4, 5, 6, 7 months, right? You give your time, your energy, your emotional support and whatnot to that person, even though you made it clear from the very beginning that this was nothing serious. Because that's the thing, especially in this generation, what I've seen, well, from this generation, I wasn't there for the prior generations, allegedly. You know, my age is a secret. I could have been there 60 years ago. You don't know. Black don't crack. But what I do know from the people of my generation, from what I've seen, we're so eager and able to get on those in those situationships, right? Nothing too serious, no title, nothing official, but we'll be in situationship. I'll be in your bed 8 days a week. Yes, 8 days a week. I'll be in your house 9 days a week, 33 days a month. But we're not official. No. And just like Mooney Long said, you only the homie once they hit. Period. Because the thing is, they'll fuck with you. They'll give you emotional support. They'll give you everything you could be asking from a partner. But when it's time to establish certain things, all of a sudden, but we're just friends. You were not my friends when you were all up inside of me. My friends are not all up inside of me. You were not my friend when it was time to give me emotional support. You were giving me more than friendship and emotional. Look at me.
I'm gagging. I'm like, that's tea.
You know?
Yeah.
Nothing but the truth.
Oh, God.
So basically, listen, I'm bringing all of this to say that, ladies, non-beanies, gentlemen's, and whatnot, we need to start seeing people and what they give to us for what it is. If somebody after all this time is not trying to make it official with you, don't be surprised if he or they just disappeared after a while. Because at the end of the day, they had all this time to give you something more. But instead, they took the first occasion, the first opportunity they had to take everything away from you. Because they were not planning on giving you anything other than what they wanted to give you in that moment. Which is totally fine. Because once again, you were never official. But does that mean that you shouldn't be hurt? Does that mean that you shouldn't feel a certain way by being left? Because a lot of people love ghosting, and that's why I always tell you girls, you better be careful. People are out here lying. I'm polyamorous. I'm in an open relationship. Meanwhile, only one person in the relationship knows that it's open. I'm not here for monogamy. Meanwhile, they're treating you like the wife, and let alone you were to bring another nigga in the house. Now they're in their feelings. Oh, you know, I can be with you right now, but if you were to meet someone, I just wish we could stay together further. They're already thinking about who else they're going to marry, but they're not trying to marry you while they have the opportunity. But all of these things, right, they play into your head. They make you feel like, oh, wow, that person really cares about me, because if I was to get with somebody else, they would be hurt. They're not hurt enough because you're standing in front of them right now and they're not trying to wife you up. No. They're your friend. It's a situationship. And listen, I'm saying this because, once again, I speak from experience. I've been married once, so I'm kidding. Allegedly. But I've been in plenty of situationships. I've been in one relationship. What did I learn? Hey, you don't know somebody till you know somebody. People are full of surprises. I'm full of surprises. The person next to you, your flower girl is full of surprises. Your mailman is full of surprises. Your mailman could be cheating for the past 20 years with your landlord. Why do you think he's always so slow when he comes to dropping your mail?
Right.
He's dropping more than mail. But, but you don't know that because people are full of surprises, which is why even if you are getting in a committed monogamous relationship and it's been, let's say, 6 months, you know, the sky is blue, the birds are singing, the babies are on the way, you're about to adopt an ugly dog, there's a baby carriage in the hallway, you know, everything's going well. You don't know him, she don't know you. You don't. You truly don't know somebody till you know somebody. You can only know yourself to a full extent. And even knowing yourself, we don't fully know ourselves till the way we die. Because then what else is to know? You're dead. But going back to the point, situationships, relationships, I just want all of you around that are listening, all around the world that are tuning in from Instagram, whatever, from the radio, if you're in your car, if you're in your cab, if the cab driver is listening, tell him to listen closer. Because I'll get closer to the mic. Oh, let me have a sip of the let me give you a little ASMR. Thank you, Mackenzie. We have the pineapple bubbly. Ooh. Wait, listen to this. I've been obsessed with these bubbly, and this is a new flavor because we've been drinking the grapes, raisin bubbly. It's quite nice. It's a little, you know, but the pineapple one, it's more of a, you know, it gets into you, and you don't burp as much. But I digress. Back into the topic at hand, which is situationship for the time being. It really saddens me because I've been in it and I see some of my friends going through it either on the regular recently or that are going to go through it in the near future. It's part, like, you know, Diana Ross said, you can't hurry love, you just have to wait. It's a game of give and take. Or like Pat Benatar said, love is a battlefield. You truly cannot think that you have it all figured out, because in the moment you feel like it's going well, and in the moment this is someone that never gave you, that gave you something that nobody else ever gave you. I could give you the world tomorrow morning, right? Tomorrow is Tuesday. Tuesday morning I could give you the world. Wednesday I'm on Venus. And you never hear from me ever again. You gotta take what people give you for the moment and for what they give you at the very moment. And I know it's easier said than done, because, you know, if somebody's making you all these promises, giving you all these, all this energy, all this support and whatnot, you're bound to feel attached to that person emotionally somehow. Mm-hmm. We're humans. I love to say, you know, I'm too grown for certain things. And I am too grown for certain things. Like I said, my age is a mystery, mm-hmm. allegedly. I'm too grown for a lot of things. I've seen men do a lot of things. I've seen some femme people do a lot of things. I've been around. And I still, every once in a while, I'll fall for somebody. I have. I will continue to. And it's something that we must continue to fall for people. And when I say fall for people, we must continue to believe. Because my friend going through that thing recently made me think about the way I deal with all of this experience I've had. And I told her, I said, at least you believed. Because one thing you do not want to end up is, I feel like Lana Del Rey in that moment, but you don't want to end up like me. Bitter and not believing a word people tell you. Because you can ask anybody, niggas be flirting with me in the club, and the other time, like, sure, sure. Because I don't believe it. And who knows? That could have been my future baby daddy that I just shirt, my way out of. Sometimes you just gotta believe, because if you don't believe, you're passing so many beautiful stories. And love is not always, love cannot be quantified. And you cannot put a time frame on love. because people will fall out of love as easily as they fell in love with you. And that's life. And you just got to, you know, learn how to deal with it and learn how to see the signs. Because my thing is, let's go back to the situationship, right? I have about 5 minutes before we get into the real topic of today's episode. Yes. But if I can wrap it up in 5 minutes, the situationships itself. Like I said, somebody doesn't want to be dating you in the moment, whatever. But, you know, they want to be here with you. They want to share your bed. They want to share your insides. They want to meet your friends. They want to, you know, get it popping. But they don't want to put a ring on it. God knows why. It's okay. Let's you know, divulge and let's get into it just to think a bit. When you know you're in love, you know, love is a big word, but when you meet somebody and you feel the butterflies, you feel the fireworks, you know, Katy Perry didn't write the song yet. You know, you feel it all. Don't you feel like, oh my God, this is, you know, the first thing in your head is like, oh my God, this is the right one. And now all of a sudden you're thinking baby marriage and baby carriage, right? Now, if that person has been with you for 5 months and it's going so well and so strongly, but 5 months down the line, this person still doesn't want to wife you up. At some point, you have to understand that this person is not trying to build a relationship with you. Because even me, you guys know how I feel. I always told y'all, I will not be shackled up in the name of marriage. Quote unquote marriage, you know. I'm not about to do this big jump just right away. But if you want to, you can hit me up. We can talk about it. I'm planning several marriages in this lifetime. But when you feel that feeling about somebody, right? Somebody has been with you for 5 months and they're still not trying to wife you up. Baby, what makes you think when they meet the right person for them in 2 weeks, they're going to leave you? And next thing you know, 2 months later down the line, marriage, baby and the baby carriage. And that doesn't mean that you did something. That just meant that you were not the right one for them. But they didn't want to tell you because people want to act as if they're too emotionally strong and intelligent, right? Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm able and I'm capable of being in a non-committed situation where we just share intimacy and be there for each other. That's a lie, bitch. The man don't want to marry. The man don't want to marry you. Cause trust and believe that if some girl that looks like, I don't know, if somebody that looks like Dove Cameron, right? I'm going easy right now. Let's pick a white woman, right? If somebody that looks like just a regular cis white woman, because I'm a trans black girl, I can only speak for myself. But if somebody that's more palatable to them, someone that they can bring home to mama, don't you think they'll get married as soon as they can? And once again, when I say marriage, I'm speaking, you know, I'm making a big, big statement. You know, I'm big. I'm dramatic. They'll get shackled up so quick because what they want, they'll be able to get it. Just like if you were to meet someone, right, you're in a semi-situationship for 6 months. And it's, you know, somebody that you like, it's going well, whatever, you're, you know, you're enjoying your time, it's cute, you got your groove back. But honey, once again, I'm speaking for myself. Now, you're walking on Saint-Laurent, and you see a 6'3", 225 pounds of muscle, tatted up, mid-30s to late-40s, give or take. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing wedding bells, you're hearing wedding bells, and you see a wedding ring appearing on your finger. But you're not looking at your partner. You're looking at the person that you're feeling in no moment because the fireworks are here. And that's exactly why I want to bring it back to you guys. Sometimes it's just about a question of, did they feel the fireworks? Because you can build a relationship or situationship with someone for how long you want to. The moment that true fireworks, that the true feeling of passion comes along, it's bound to happen. And by someone deciding to not make a choice and juggle with you with other people because they're in all these situationships, the moment that you start being passed as a second option, it is a choice. It is a choice. And I had to learn this the hard way myself because you think, oh, you know, it's okay. We're not in a relationship and they're allowed to see other people. That's totally fine. But why should you be the second option to the other people? Mm-hmm. If that person is truly in all these situationships where they're allegedly giving nothing too official to anyone but just feeling the vibes with everyone, then everybody should be feeling somewhat of the same amount of vibes. How come this person should get to be the ones that they bring out and bring home to the friends and whatnot, and you're the one that, you know, he sees you at night in the club, y'all go have restaurant dates outside in the club, at, you know, outside at night, whatever, but in the morning, he has brunch with that person, right? When it comes to bringing people to his friends, it's another one of the partner. And I can fully understand that even though, you know, we all have different experiences with people, and you cannot expect to be treated the same with everyone because everybody doesn't feel the same about everybody. That's the beauty of life. But what you should never allow yourself to be is a second option. If somebody doesn't want to make a choice, that's fine. But by putting you as a second option, it is a choice.
Period.
So if these words were able to reach somebody that, you know, is going to do some good, if you know one of your friend that's friends that's lost in the sauce, you can go on my Instagram, link is in the bio, and it's going to be all by tonight. But anyways, enough of the sermon. This was Foxy Brown, I Can't, one of my favorite songs from the Chant It All 1999 album. But let's get into the real topic. I have in front of me, I'm so excited, Miss Mercy Mugler.
Hi.
Monib, say hi.
Hola, Lola.
And we have the beautiful Tarek with us joining us.
I'm just here.
She's just here. She's queer. She's all of it. All of the above.
Exactly.
But babes, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing just fine. It's been kind of a rough week because my overbearing mother is in town, but I love her. Just of saying. Course. Shout out my mom.
Yes.
And my older brother. So it's kind of been a lot of pressure recently, but we're here, and I'm happy to see you. I think it's a good way to alleviate some of that pressure.
Of course, and even better, you have a project out.
I do.
And even if you're locked in, the music is out.
Period. The music is free, and the that's all that matters.
Exactly. And I'm so, so, so proud, excited,
Thank
glad.
Thank you, Mama.
Just makes me feel so good because I've seen you work on it, and I'd few questions before we get into it. One of my first questions.
Yes.
So when did you technically finish the EP?
2 weeks before it came out.
That's exactly what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
What did you do in those 2 weeks?
Waited for the distributor to get it to stores. but I also was just like anxiously waiting for what might come out of this EP. Like, I dove into fantasies, I dove into like nervous feelings. Like, I thought, you know, maybe no one would listen to it, no one would understand it. My type of music is really particular to my identity, like my style, my experience.
Sure.
So, and I don't know if everybody's gonna get that, so I thought maybe it's gonna be mistranslated. But no, I guess it went well.
It's
it went really well.
I feel like it's going very well too. I see people, you saw me on TikTok using your songs. I see people using your songs on Instagram. So
it's getting out.
But in those 2 weeks while you were waiting, did you do any Twitches or you just literally just left it there? You knew it was good and ready. You just needed the time to process.
Well, with the distributor, I had to, the songs, some of the songs were, you know, sitting collecting dust on my computer for a while.
Yeah.
But right before the 2 weeks that I submitted them for distribution, I sat with each song and edited any small little thing that I got an irk about.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that I have the perfect sound and I'm able to convey the exact sound that I want to give out. But the sounds were all made like during an experience that I was having in that moment. And then I threw the song together and then worked on it later. But they kind of always existed. Well, that doesn't make sense. They existed in the moment that they were supposed to be made, and then I would twitch them and made edits to them a little bit before they were released.
Because all of this was your work, like you've done this on your own.
Yeah,
which is very impressive.
My four walls.
Yeah, little studio.
Yes.
Which song should we start kicking up with? Should we go by orders, or you want a little favorite one?
Let's go by order because I feel like, you know, the EP kind of tells a story of like, well, the tracks go Poppers, Rockstar,
Drunk,
Bitch I'm Sad, and Telephone.
Yeah.
And it kind of describes a night out for me, I think, to be honest. Like, I go from like, you know, I'm like out, I'm doing Poppers, I'm having a good time, I'm feeling like a rock star, and then I get drunk, and then I get sad, and then I pick up the phone and I call someone to like talk about it. So I feel like an order tells a story.
And talking about phones, like I told on my Instagram, if you guys have any questions for my girl, you can call us 514-448-4013.
Yes.
If your telephone shine, whatever, you can email me at askmisschris@ckut.ca. So let's play Poppers. Poppers.
always.
Can tell me about Poppers.
Poppers is one of the first songs I actually made on the EP. It, I don't know, I put myself in a position where I was like, what does Poppers kind of feel like for me? And it feels like the piano that you heard, and it feels like the smack in the face of that like super harsh bass that I have in there. And I added that little jingly, like,
that I love,
spelling it out type thing, just for that catchy effect. I don't know.
And it's your voice, right?
It's my voice. Yeah. Everything on the EP is me, except that little last sample on Telephone, which is some sample I found on YouTube. But I love Poppers. I feel like it started off the EP really strong. It also is the song that has the least normal beat sequence. It's kind of like Bjork-y and all over the place. There's no 4x4 beat count, if that makes sense. But it felt right to me in that moment, and it felt right to its nature of what I wanted it to sound like. And yeah, it's just a way to start off the EP.
And it was the first song that you released from the EP, I think, wasn't it?
No, Bitch, I'm Sad was my first single.
And then Poppers came afterwards.
Rockstar came afterwards.
Oh, God, I don't have my facts straight.
It's okay, but I was going to release... You're kind of right, because I was going to release Poppers as my second single. Okay. But I was torn between which one I should do. And then I played both, and I saw 111 on the... time frame of Rockstar, and 111 is like an angel number that helps you make decisions. So I was like, okay, let me just release Rockstar because the universe told me to.
Yeah, I like that. You better trust in the universe.
Yes, always put your full trust in the universe.
That's cute. And then Poppers, what else? I had another question for Poppers.
Yes.
So we talked, I think I said it off air because when we were playing the music, but that piano sequence.
Yes.
That was yours also?
No, it was also a sample I found. Yeah. Actually, shout out 100 Gex for the sample pack on my Ableton. They had that sound. I cut it up and I made it kind of weird and like modified the sound just so I don't copy it exact. But shout out 100 Gex for that sample.
I love because it shows people, because you did it all on your own, literally in your house. Mm-hmm. And that tells a lot to, especially people listening. You can literally do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You can, if you have the passion, if you have the drive, and if you have a clear vision as to what you want to put out for yourself, you can do it.
Yeah. And might I add, I also have a really good support system.
There you go.
Like Margot, shout out, big shout out to Margot, who spent lots of time with me, I think like almost 6 months, teaching me the ins and outs of Ableton and like music production. She also really showed me how to apply myself in my sound and correctly convey like my identity through my music. And I think that really helped shape my sound in a lot of ways.
Did you start working with Margot knowing that she wanted to release the EP soon, or you worked with her and then now that you had the knowledge, you're like, okay, let me do it?
I had an inkling to start producing and I've been DJing for I've been DJing for 3 years now and I've like set up this like whole like repertoire of Mossy Mugler, DJ vibe, like outrageous, whatever it may be. But I realized later that there was more to me than my DJing and I wasn't able to fully express myself using other people's music. And So as someone who's an artist, who's always trying to strive for more, who's always trying to be authentic or their true selves, like, producing kind of just came naturally after DJing for such a long time.
Yeah.
And I've known Margot from the scene, and I know that she's an incredible, like, incredibly talented mm-hmm. producer. And, you know, I hit her up, and it was history from there, I guess.
I love that. Yes. And shout out to Margot. We love Margot.
Shout out Margot big time.
Should we get into Rockstar?
Yes. Rockstar is personally one of my faves off the EP, just because it's kind of really kooky and bananas.
And this is the theme title of the EP also.
Yes, it is. It's the title track.
Mm-hmm. Title track. Thank you.
Yes.
So Rockstar, everybody.
Oh, can we turn it off? Because it's kind of... Okay.
For sure. Following up from poppers, you're in the club. You mm-hmm. took the poppers. Now, allegedly, you said you're feeling like a rock star.
Feeling like a rock star.
But why a rock star?
Because Hannah Montana said so. The original OG Cunty Fierce inspo. No kidding. But not kidding at the same time, I think. But rock star, because I think, you know, being queer, being trans, being... non-beanie, being weird as fuck, and like I don't know, like against all that was up against, like fighting up everything that was up against you is rock star behavior. And I think in my time that I wanted to produce the EP, the biggest thing that I wanted to convey was my story. And I think I'd like to look at my story as rock star behavior, because I've been pinned up against, you know, my family. I've been pinned up against society, boys, like, I don't know, my mind. I've been pinned up against myself in a lot of ways. And I think dealing with that through music and dealing with that through arts is rock star behavior. And it's a big F you to, like, everyone that kind of is like, just is like, oh, like, you're never going to be more than, you know, the weirdo that you present as, or you're never going to be more than, you know, this like crazy club kid who's just like addicted to going out and like drugs. Like, but that's not true. Like people in the club are talented individuals who can express and convey so much power. And there's freedom in the club, and freedom means rock star behavior. So that's kind of what I wanted to...
And I love the point that you made about Rockstar being pretty much just going against the grain.
Yeah.
which is something that's so important. It's something that's very, that shines through your music. 100%.
Thank you so much.
No, and personally, like I told you before, we, I need to stop having little conversations while we're playing the music because the listeners don't know what we'd be saying.
Ah, dear.
But it's okay. I'm here to repeat. Like I said, Rockstar, I still very much adore Rockstar as a title for your EP, especially what you did with the edit.
Yes.
The American flag and the Americana situation. I love it.
I made that edit on Pixar, like that app on my phone. Like,
I
like
love
every single, wow. Every single single, every cover art for my music was made on Pixar. Like,
good.
All of them. Yeah.
And it's so coherent because the ones for Poppers and Bitch I'm Sad, like I told you, I love the Bitch I'm Sad cover. I remember telling
you,
it made me think almost of a Mika. I don't know if you guys know Mika's music because he was, you know Mika, maybe Jack.
Maybe.
Yeah. They're like a Lebanese British singer.
Mood.
I think, yeah. He's gay.
Love.
Now we know. Or bisexual.
Shout out the gays.
Shout out to the bis, the gays, and the other letters.
The other letters.
All the letters. But it made me think of Mika like in a very, remember when the graphic tees were such in fashion in 2007? And all the pop of colors and just the vibrancy. It's very nice.
Thank you.
It's very, very nice.
Yeah, I always try to base my cover art based off like the colors of the sound, if that makes sense. Or like, I feel like every cover art I have kind of encapsulate the way the sound sounds or the song sounds, or I try as much as possible.
No, I could see that because Rockstar is very different from Bitch I'm Sad, and Bitch I'm Sad was way more, I think the background was more white, more.
Yeah, it was white.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a star and like crazy colors and my face is in there.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the face. I'm looking at the EP cover. Amazing makeup, amazing FX.
Yes.
The stars.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that, or should we just stick to the music?
I could talk about the EP cover. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nate Bay for photography and styling assisting. Shout out to Diamond for doing makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to my sister Cigario, who's in the room, for styling the shoot. We originally did that shoot because we we're pitching it to different magazines to get the EP debut going.
Mm-hmm.
And that photo from the EP cover art was actually one of the behind the scenes photos from that Diamond took, the makeup artist.
Yeah.
The pictures from the shoot were, one of the pictures from the shoot was originally supposed to be the cover art, but it didn't feel right for me, not because I didn't love the photos. The photos are incredible, the final photos. Just because I felt like if I was going to do this EP, I wanted everything to be done. Now they're going to call me a control freak, but I wanted everything to be done based off of how I felt it should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And the EP cover was no exception. Like, I took that behind the scenes photo that I really, really loved and just put my own spin on it. Mm-hmm. And it felt more right for the EP cover. And that same outfit, same makeup, same everything was edited differently, but yet still ended up in a magazine. And I think that edit was perfect for that magazine.
Yeah.
But it would have, you know, yeah.
No, I fully, I understand 100%.
Yeah.
People might see that, you know, oh, it's just a project, no, whatever the picture is, whatever the sound is. But at the end of the day, when you have a clear vision, like we said earlier,
yeah,
everything needs to work together and not coincide, but it has to be coherent to what the artist had in mind.
Yeah, very much.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Oh, go ahead. Closer to the mic, yeah.
Yes, I have a question about the EP cover.
Yes.
So I see a lot of American flag usage in your imagery. This is not the first time you like reference the American flag. What is the reason behind it? Is it just Cunty Fierce, or is it just or is there a reference?
Yeah, I think it's Cunty Fierce down. I also think it kind of represents like America is so like backwards in so many ways, and everything America stands for in a lot of ways is everything I'm against. So to take that onto my project and be like, isn't this the freedom y'all preach about all the time? Like, don't I represent the kind of like
the
free
American
country
dream,
the American rock star dream that y'all talk about all the time? It's just kind of like an ironic take on the American flag and what America represents. And I think someone being like Palestinian, queer, trans, like weird anti-government like person, like doing like taking on American, using it as aesthetics, is kind of like I don't know, reclaiming the power back from, you know, everything America has set up against us.
And it goes with, even though, I mean, yeah, rock star in the US, so it goes with the rock star theme.
Yeah, yeah, very much. It's very rock star behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
I'm waiting for your
star stripes.
Waiting and ready for your world tour, your rock star world
tour.
Thank
you, mama. Thank you. So kind. Inshallah.
Right? Now let's get into drunk.
Yes.
Yes, it was for Monib.
Yeah, period.
Drunk. Oh my god. Okay, so what's the story with Drunk?
Drunk is a song that I made right after I had a FaceTime call with our sister Sayana. Shout out Sayana Barbara. We were on the phone, we were on FaceTime, and she was like drinking some wine. She was like getting drunk by herself at home, and I was like, you know what, I've never tried like getting drunk by myself at home. She's like, what? It's amazing. Like, it's like, it's an experience. Like, girl, you're missing out. Like, nothing's better than a bottle of wine after a stressful day. And I'm like, okay, tea. So I went and got myself a bottle of wine from the depth right next to my house, and I drank it all. I drank all of the wine, and then I was like, okay, like, this is being drunk at home. What would that sound like? And that's where Drunk came about. But I thought it was appropriate to add to the EP also because, you know, as club girls, nightlife girlies, like, being drunk is a familiar experience. Like, we all know what it kind of feels like. Like, dazed, confused, like, all over the place.
Not knowing
emotional.
Where you are.
Yeah.
What day it is. What's your name?
What Uber you're getting into.
Right.
Like... so yeah, that's the story behind Drunk. I just got drunk at home and I was like, listen, let me make some music. And that's what came about from it.
There's a part in the song where it's like, it feels as if whatever is being said is being said backwards. Could it be, or like chopped?
It was chopped.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of like, cause it was just, I think I say, oh my God, I'm drunk. And that's, most of the chopping is just that one phrase, like back and forth, or just like I'm, oh, drunk, or bitch, or like different things like that. But at the end, I kind of just created a scenario where I was like, oh, like, I just got in the wrong Uber because I'm so drunk. Like, I'm like, is this for Monib? Like, are you sure? Like, I'm trying to get home. Like, oh, it's not for Monib? What the fuck? Like, I got in the wrong Uber. Like,
I love, because it's also giving, like, it's creating almost a scenery.
Yeah.
Because in a way, it sounds like, yeah, you were slurring your words, not being able to get your facts straight, whatever.
Yes, yes. I'm glad it translated well.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm all for a good visual and scenery, honey.
Period.
Romanticize your life, your work, and whatever else you do in this world. Because if you don't do it for yourself, nobody else will.
Period.
No, I love it.
Honestly.
I love Drunk.
Thank you.
But while we're on the topic, because earlier we talked about the EP and the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Let me click on the next tab.
Yes.
There we go. Paper Motherfucking Magazine.
Period.
Mussy Mugler is a future rock star. Article by Tiana Randall.
Yes.
What's going on? What's happening?
I don't know. What are you looking at?
If you're looking at that beautiful picture, you look like the Virgin Mary.
Thank you, Mama.
I love it.
Period. I appreciate that. Thank you. You know.
How did it happen?
It happened because the newly equated editor-in-chief of Paper mm-hmm. Magazine, Justin Moran. Shout out, Justin Moran. After my first single, Bitch I'm Sad, dropped, mm-hmm. He DM'd me on Instagram with just saying, I love Bitch I'm Sad.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's, thank you so much. Like, I'm really glad you do. Like, I appreciate that coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this like a shoot in mind for the EP debut for a while. And when we did it, you know, it felt like I already had that open door with his DM.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister Tariq, who like specializes in pitching like things to magazines, or like has pitched to magazines before, was just like, why don't we just pitch it? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I think that door is open and there's a familiarity. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And let's see what happens, because it could be really cunt if it goes through.
And it turned out amazing.
It did. It was, you know, we pitched it. He really loved the idea and he was really down for it. And then I think, and then Tiana, who wrote the article, so crazy, because I met Tiana at Glossier in New York City.
Oh.
Like, she was someone who was just working, and she knew one of my friends. One of my friends, Yosan.
Yeah.
And I went into Glossier looking for Yosan, who also works at Glossier.
Mm-hmm.
And Yosan wasn't there, but Tiana was. And we just started talking, and they were, like, really cool. And then 3 years later, they started working as a writer for magazines and like different things. And it felt full circle for them to be writing this article, because I was like, damn, like, I met you 3 years ago as someone who worked at a retail job. And now you're like helping debut the start of my career in a way.
Yeah.
So it felt very full circle. It felt very whimsical and magical.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Tiana. I love you.
And an amazing article also, everybody, if you have the time to. Is the link in your bio?
Yes, the link is in my bio.
Link is in her bio. If you have the time to read it, it's an amazing article. One of my, that I reposted personally on my Instagram for the promotion of this episode. Three words to describe each song of Rockstar.
Yes.
The choice of words.
Period.
Let's read them real quick, right?
Go ahead.
Poppers, Dazed, Confused, Hardcore.
Period.
Rockstar, ADHD, Cunt. Bitch, I'm sad. Sad, aggressive, healing.
I'm bored.
Drunk, chaotic, fast-paced. And telephone, dance, funny, creative.
Yes.
Last but not least, three words for the whole project. Bad bitch central.
Period.
Just so funny. Just end up knowing you. I know this came, Miss Sagittarius. It probably came flying out of your mouth like blessings.
Yeah. TBH. And you know I had to put Nikki in there.
Oh, I saw how you check my credentials.
Yeah, check my credentials, mama. Literally.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I wish I used a different word for drunk instead of just drunk again. But
well, let's do it here. Do you have a word?
No, I don't. No, I'm kidding. I feel like drunk is hypnotizing.
Oh, okay.
And I would like to replace that with instead of drunk. I feel like listening to drunk puts you in a, like, it's like your eyes are looking at something but you can't see anything, I feel, or like you're trapped in the beat of the song,
for sure.
At least for me, like, I don't know how people perceive that drunk, but
I could see
it blinds me. Like, it really does. Oh, there you go. What word did I use?
Blind.
No, before hypnotizing, blinding, and cunt.
Okay.
Yes.
And I could fully see it because, like I told you, I mentioned it drunk in terms of just the scenery. Because all of the songs, it's a whole story. But I feel like on drunk, the fact that I was able to catch fully from the, because I asked you basically what was being said, because I know somebody couldn't get their words on the song.
Yeah.
And that's the real scenery. And yeah, so I can fully see how you say, how you feel it's hypnotizing.
Yes.
100%. Thank you. Sure. Of course. Yes. So everybody go check and read that Paper Mag interview magazine. Oh, go ahead.
So sorry, I just wanted to say before we end this segment, shout out to Iris, who really came through in the end.
Yes.
And just made the shoot something, well,
elevated.
just elevated it to a whole nother level. Yeah. Oh, and made it worth the debut.
The person who did the edit for the interview mag. Okay, and Paper Mag.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, the edit itself, let's not spend too much time because we have like 9 minutes.
Oh, see. Oh,
but yeah, it goes fast, right? When you're in good company.
Yes. Where?
Allegedly. No, but you guys really, if you're the ones that are listening at home, go really check the, read the article, but also look at the pictures, because I'm looking at that one picture right now. I raised my computer so you can see, right?
Thank you.
One of my favorite pics.
Oh, yes. That was supposed to be the EP cover one.
Really?
It's, yes. But it didn't feel as, like, electric.
Well, you know what?
The EP.
If you do a re-up, there's your cover.
There you go. My deluxe version.
Yes. Yeah, honestly, this is an amazing picture. You look beautiful.
Thank you so much, Mama.
Let's go back to the music. We are at Bitch, I'm Sad. Okay, let's get into it.
Should we play Bitch, I'm Sad and Telephone back to back?
Yeah, we can do that for sure. Let's do it.
Really, really bad.
Welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
She might be too busy to talk to you, but we're here, Muneeb. Tell us.
Yes, so you just heard Bitch, I'm Sad and Telephone, which are the last two tracks of my EP, Rockstar, which is available everywhere now. Bitch, I'm Sad was my first single, which is what caught the attention of the editor-in-chief of Paper Magazine. Mm-hmm. And I made it right after I got into a fight with my mom, which you can read more about in the article, but it was, you know, I had a really big fight with my mom and I hung up the phone and then I picked up the mic and was just like, bitch, I'm sad, like really, really mad. And then I, you know, went from there. So I put healing in one of the three words that describe that song because it was the first time I actually used music to kind of convey how I was feeling in that moment. And yeah, it worked. I mean, how I was feeling intensely, like sadness. 2 minutes. Okay. Telephone was just kind of a fun, dancey vibe that I wanted to end the EP off on light note. If you listen to the sample at the end, it just kind of says like, press the number based off of your mental health issue and then makes fun of the mental health issue, which is kind of like a play on of how I live my life. I thought it was a funny way to just end the EP and like make light of something that was so deep and serious and for a lot of people, especially in our community. If the sample in Telephone is actual phone rings, I don't know. I think that's pretty obvious, TBH, though. but that's kind of how those two songs came about. I realize we're short on time, so I'm just going to plug in. Outrageous is happening, my party that I throw. Mm-hmm. We came back from a little break. It's happening at, I'm not going to say where, a secret location, TBA, and at lineup, TBA, but August 12th. Save the date. Early bird tickets are up for sale right now. You don't want to miss this one. The lineup is insane.
Muneeb, it's always such a pleasure to have you. And
thank you.
I can't say it enough. I can't stress it enough. I'm extremely happy for you.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Of course. And Tariq, I like you too. But I love you. But listen, everybody.
Again, I'm just here.
Yes. But everybody, this was Miss Chris on Ask Miss Chris Queer Core.
Corpse.
Core. No, core. See, Mother L told me that recently. I've been saying corpse
I for like so corpse. Long. It right? sounds mortal.
It sounds
they more. All work. They all work.
It's more golf.
They all work. We make it work. But anyways, this was my show. Kidding. But we'll I'll see you next week. Love you.
Love y'all. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, Feminist Waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy.
The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance.
We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio. On today's show, we have the chance to speak with artist Ona Liu about her upcoming album, as well as what it's like to be one of the 2.1% of women music producers in the industry. Here is our interview with Ona Liu.
I am Ona Liu. I am from Argentina. I moved to Canada, to Winnipeg in 2016. I'm a singer and songwriter, and I focused mostly in fusion of Latin American traditional genres. I try to bring them to a contemporary songwriter kind of sound. I love the idea of keeping these traditional musics alive. And also I like writing about things that I care about. I like kind of my aim is to write songs that move the listener. I want the song to give the space